Still saved. Thank the Lord. By the grace of God. No, it's nothing in and of ourselves, but I thank the Lord for that. We want to talk a little bit tonight about faith. It's a very popular subject in the church, and it should be. Scripture says very plainly that without faith it is impossible to please God. So we have no capacity to please the Lord. We don't have faith in Him. So we want to turn to Mark, the 11th chapter. We want to read a little bit in Mark, a few chapters in Mark. Mark, the 11th chapter, and we want to start at verse 20. Mark 11, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, we want to title this message, Have Faith in God. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto him, Have faith in God. Now I find that interesting choice of words that he puts here. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away. This seems to be a statement here that he looks on the tree. If you read the previous, the Lord had desired to have some figs the day before. And the fig tree, he got there, it had the leaves on it and everything seems to be in order. But when he got there, there were no figs on it. So he cursed the tree. And now the next day as they were passing by that way, they see that this tree is withered up. The Lord had told them, no man eat of thee from this day forward. Now they see that this fig tree is withered away. And Peter says, calling to remembrance, he says, Master, makes a statement, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, now it seems like this is a statement here, but Jesus is answering a question. You know that sometimes we say things and in our minds, we're making a statement, but there is a quizzical look in our eyes and a question in our minds as to why is this tree withered away? Why you spoke to it yesterday and now why is it withered away? But he didn't ask that question, but the Lord is able to go to the very depths of our heart and he's able to read things that we may not even say. I find that that happens sometimes, that people say some things, but they actually are asking another question. So we, as people of God, have to be able to discern. As ministers of the gospel, we have to be able to discern really what is the core question here. What are we really getting at? So the Lord says, well, I'm going to tell you what you're asking, Peter, without asking. I'm going to tell you that what you're asking is, have faith in God. This is the answer to the question. Have faith in God. And he goes on to elaborate a little bit more. And he says, Verily I say unto you, that whosoever say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I believe that this is a figurative mountain, but I believe that if we needed a literal mountain to be moved out of the way, the Lord has the capacity and the ability to do it as well. We go back to the children of Israel where they literally, the Red Sea was opened up. There are some things that the Lord has done for individuals in a literal sense as well as a figurative sense. But there are many situations in our lives that we come across on a day-to-day basis that seem like these are mountains. I don't know how I'm going to get past this. I don't know how I'm going to get through with this. And we look at it and we're trying in our mind, maybe somebody is talking to us and maybe they're trying to encourage us in one way. But the answer always is have faith in God. No matter what you come against, no matter what you're faced with, no matter how difficult it is, whether it's physical pain, whether it's suffering, whether it's a financial situation, whether it's a situation in a relationship, the answer to your question is, have faith in God. It's not, what am I going to do? I don't know. It's just too much for me to bear. The answer to your question is, have faith in God. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Very plain that the Lord has given us a clear understanding that if you can have faith in God, it doesn't matter what it is, He's going to ask you whatever you ask Him for, and whatever we ask Him for must be submitted to His will and His desire. Whatever it is, we have desires from the Lord. He says you'll have whatever you ask, if you can just have faith. Now, what is the question to us? What is the point that we need to get a hold of here tonight? The thing that we need to get a hold of is, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I want you to purify my belief system. I want you to deal with me in such a way that I can believe the things that I need to believe, that I can believe in you, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. All right? And he goes on here to say, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now he put all of this together here. First of all, he's answering something to Peter, and he's saying, Peter, here's the answer to your question, have faith in God. But along with that, there is a responsibility that you have that if you do not forgive your brother, there is going to be a hindrance to your faith. If they do something against you, and there are some things that you don't appreciate, and I know that all of us have come against some things that we don't appreciate about somebody else. So the Lord is saying, if somebody has hurt your feelings, if they've done some things that you know that they shouldn't have done, and you feel that you have been put aside, and it's a literal and it's a true thing, you have to forgive them. Or it's going to hinder your faith in God. This is not an option. In order for you and I to get to heaven, we must have faith. Now the question that we have tonight is, how much faith do we have? How much do we need? In one place it says you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed. It does not matter. It doesn't mean that you have to have this great big faith, this great big weighty faith, so to speak, but it has to be pure. Alright? Let's go a little further here. I want us to turn. We'll come back to that as the Lord directs. Mark the 9th chapter. If you have it, you can read it for us, starting at the 14th verse. Mark 9. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, the scribes questioning with them. Straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. He asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath the dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So this father had been in a trial for many years, apparently for several years. He said, how long has this situation been with your son? And his father said, since he was a child. Continue. Cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I want to point out some things here. He says here, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So Jesus sees that there is a crowd around this man, and he comes and he asks, and I believe Jesus already knew what was going on, but he asks some individuals, he said, what are you questioning them about? And this man is coming and he says, Lord, I've brought my son to your disciples, your ministers, and I asked them to cast out a demon that's in him. There's a spirit that's dealing with my young boy, and I heard about you. I heard what you're able to do, and I believe that you were able to do it. But Lord, I'm having a little bit of a problem right now, because those that are around us that I felt should have the ability and the authority to do this, Lord, they're not able to do it. Do you know that sometimes, this is what I want us to get a hold of, sometimes we as saints of God need to ask the Lord to inspire our faith and increase our faith, and we need to do whatever is necessary for the Lord to give us an increase of faith, because it can have a bearing on somebody else. Now I want to say, ultimately, It is the man's responsibility to have faith in God. This is what Jesus said. He says, Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, in my mind, I believe what this man was saying, Lord, I heard all about you, and folks were telling me all what you're able to do. They were showing me your works and whatnot, and I was a little bit skeptical, and I'm still a little bit skeptical, and I came and I presented them to your people, and I still didn't get the desired results that I wanted. I didn't get the results that I desired, and now I'm even more skeptical as to whether or not you can do this. Now, even though this man was skeptical, the Lord did not put the blame on the ministry, that the ministry didn't have faith enough. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. So again, what we see is that faith is an individual thing. I have to have faith. I have to have faith. You have to have faith. Every one of us has to have faith in God. Lord, increase our faith. Have faith in God. This is not an option for us. If we're going to make it to heaven, if we're going to be successful in this walk of life during this time, we're going to have faith in God. Now he says, O faithless generation. Did you realize that he did not say, O faithless disciples? He said, we're living in a generation of faithlessness. And do you realize that we're living in a time where it's very difficult to have faith in God to the purest degree that God requires and desires of us to have it? Do you realize that the things that we have been taught in our society, and so here Jesus is talking about a generation, this society, this group of people that live from point A to point B, there is a faithlessness about them. And so in the same way, I believe that we can say, and if we are honest with ourselves, that there is a faithlessness about this generation under which we live, in which we live. All right? It's very difficult. We are social beings, and we are affected by all that we hear. And one of the things that is very prominent in our generation is this. We believe in ourselves, don't we? If you can believe it, you can achieve it. Now, on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that. Because it's true. If you can believe it, you can achieve it. But who helps you to achieve the things that you achieve? It's the Lord. Then there's this little thing that we say in our generation today, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. And on the surface, there's nothing wrong with me believing in myself, is there? But do you know what it can be? It can be a mild form of idolatry. And I believe so much in myself that it's difficult for me to believe in the Lord. I have so much faith in me that it's difficult for me to have faith in God. That I believe that I can do anything that I set my mind to do, and I really believe I can accomplish this. And I leave God out of the picture altogether. So when I come across something that is too big for me to really believe and to grasp and get a hold of and do it myself, even though I try and I try and I try and I'm not successful, now I'm having a little difficulty making the switch from trusting in my own ability and trusting in God's ability. So what I attempt to do is put my trust in somebody else. So I go to the preacher and I ask him, what should I do? And I go to somebody that is a solid saint and I ask them, what should I do? And they give me the instruction. And the instruction should always be to point us back to God, that have faith in God. But what we tend to do when we have learned to trust in our own abilities and we've learned to trust in ourselves and we have a difficulty in trusting in God whom we have not seen, now I want to transfer my trust from myself, since I can't do it myself, and I want to transfer it to somebody else. You believe God for me. You have faith in God for me. I find it so difficult to have faith in God. Can you do it, preacher? Can you just lay hands on me and pray for me that the Lord would give me the level of victory that I need in my soul? But the only way that you're going to get victory in your soul to the level that you need is for you to have faith in God. I was talking with someone not long ago, and they were struggling with something, having some issues and problems and things in their mind. And I was saying, you know, the devil is just taking advantage of you. and they were wanting me to basically sympathize with them and put my arm around them and say, oh, well, listen, I know you're going to make it, brother. You're going to be, everything's going to be all right. And of course, I give them that kind of encouragement and whatnot. But what they basically said to me is, well, if I'm having these kind of struggles in my mind, can you just lay hands on me and pray for me? Now, I believe that there is a time for us to lay hands on an individual and pray for them. I believe that. I believe that they need a little help sometime. But knowing some history of this individual and knowing that they revert back to this over and over, the Lord just spoke to me and said, no, I'm not. Don't lay your hands on them and pray for them. He said, no, you need to pray. You seek the Lord and you have faith in God, because what happens with that particular person is they tend to transfer the faith that they should have in God on the preacher. So now, after I laid hands on them and still they did not have faith to believe that God was able to do this, it's no longer their responsibility to trust and have faith in God. It's mine to be able to get through to God. So they have just transferred their responsibility to believe away from them and on me. Do you know we do that all the time? So here's this man here that has a son that has a great problem. And no, the ministry was not in a position to be able to deliver it. And you know, sometimes that is the case. Lord, help us. And Lord, forgive us. And Lord, help us to do what we need to do to be able to help and other individuals that come to us that are in distressful situations. We need to be in a position to be able to help them. And we have to, this is a challenge to those that are in the ministry. Not just those that are in the ministry. It's a challenge to those that are saints of God, because all of us should be in a position that we can help somebody in a distressful situation like this. Not just the preachers. But let me say this, just because those disciples were not able to do it did not negate their standing with God. They were still disciples. The Lord still had a relationship with them. They were still men of God. Don't look at your preachers or those in the ministry out of the corner of your eye and say, we're just little weaklings. No, your responsibility is to have faith in God. It's not just my responsibility. The only thing that sets me apart from you is the Lord has given us a gift. I'm just a man. Brother Stanley's just a man. He should be really no more spiritual than anybody else that's in this congregation. He should not be just the most spiritual one. He's up here and everybody else is down here. That's not the case. It should be that everybody is at the same spiritual level, but the only thing that sets us apart is the gifting that the Lord has given us. One is a teacher, one is a preacher, one has another kind, an evangelist gift, and what various gifts that the Lord has set in the body, and they are equally as important, because they all feed the body and they all supply the body. All right? Have faith in God. Continue reading. 22nd verse.
And oft times it hath cast him into the fire.
Yes.
And into the waters to destroy him.
Yes.
But if thou canst do anything,
have compassion on us and help us.
Jesus said
unto him,
if thou canst believe,
all things are possible to him that believeth.
Straightway
the father of the child cried out and said with tears,
Lord,
I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now here's this man that says, he's saying, Lord, I was in a place when I came to your people that I believed that they could do this and that you can do this. And this is the only reason that I came among the people of God. And now, because of what happened, because of my experiences that I've just had, I'm having a greater level of doubt than I had when I first came. And he went to the Lord, and he told the Lord this, and the Lord, he says, but if you can do anything like they say you can do, then have mercy on us and help us. And the Lord points the finger right back at him. You see how he points the finger at the Lord and says, if you can do it, then do it. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to take your responsibility. What's your responsibility? I'm not going to take your responsibility to believe. It is your responsibility to believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to you that believe. Where were the disciples at this point? They were not around, because you see, a little bit later they come running here to find out. So it wasn't that the Lord is saying, all right, my disciples believe and you believe, and then I'll do it. It wasn't that. He says, you have the responsibility. We have the responsibility to believe God. And then he realizes that, Lord, you know what? If I'm going to be really honest with myself, there is a little bit of unbelief here. I just don't, I'm rocking back and forth. I feel a little bit unstable that yes, sometimes I think you can do it, but I don't know if you're going to do it for me. And he's feeling like this and he says, Lord, I believe, but there's still some unbelief here. I have to be honest with myself. Don't go around believing something that you do not, saying that you believe something that you do not believe. That's dishonesty. The Lord can't work over that. The honesty is, you know what, I just don't have the faith. I don't have it, but I want it. And Lord, from this point, if you'll help me with this struggle that I'm having in my mind, if you'll help me with it, I will have faith in you. I will. I want it. Can I have faith? Yes. Lord, I must. I will no longer doubt thee, oh Lord. I won't doubt you, Lord. I will believe and simply trust. Do you suppose that that songwriter had any battles with doubt and fear and unbelief? He says, can I have faith? Yes, I can have faith. There goes the answer. Lord, I must. Can I defeat my Savior's plan? Trample his mercy in the dust? How can I longer doubt and remain if I do what's right and just? I have a responsibility. My responsibility is to do what's right and just. And Lord, when I've done this, I can lay it out to you. Not my own righteousness to believe, but your righteousness. I'm assumed, I've taken on your righteousness. I've done what's right and just, Lord. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not being a hypocrite, Lord. I'm not being dishonest by saying I believe in testimony service, but having these doubts when I go home and not doing it, Lord. I'm not doing that. And Lord, you know it. Increase my faith. Give me the faith to believe. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Can I believe? Can I have faith? Yes, you can have faith. In who? In God. Not in yourself. Not in the preacher. Not in the saints. And I'm not saying you understand what I say when I say that. There's a level of trust that you have in those that are walking with the Lord. But they're not the object of your faith. The church is not the object of your faith. The doctrines of the church are not the objects of your faith. Your righteousness is not the object of your faith. The object of your faith is have faith in God that can do everything. Lord, help us. All right. Jesus saw the people came running together, and he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou deaf and dumb spirit, dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Now let me tell you something about this. You see that the devil here is not going to release his hold on anything without a battle. I've got to come out of him, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear up as much as I possibly can before I come out. Do you know the devil will do that to you and I as well? Maybe a situation. We're dealing with a situation here. Not so much demon possession here, but we're dealing with situations in our lives and situations that we're looking for the Lord to do. Sometimes as we're praying and as we're seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord that the Lord does something for it, it looks like it gets worse before it gets better. And sometimes we can become discouraged because, look, I prayed and I've sought the Lord about this thing, and now it looks like, and I believe that the Lord was going to do something very special here, and now it looks like it's just torn to pieces. In so much it says here, rent him sore, and it came out of him, and he was as one dead, in so much that many said, he is dead. See what you did, Jesus? See what trust in the Lord does? What's the point in trusting him? Here's my son. I would rather have had my son be tormented by that demon than to be dead. And now, Jesus, I had a little question mark in my mind about whether or not you were able to do it, and now he's dead. He's dead. And I wonder how long Jesus waited before he reached down and grabbed him by the hand. I wonder how long he waited. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Do you know the Lord will do that sometime to you and I? Sometimes it'll look like it's just no use. You might as well stop praying. It's over. And we can become discouraged by it. But when we say have faith in God, God has the capacity to raise a dead whatever up. If we'll allow him to, if we'll trust him to that end. Read. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. When he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. All right, that's good enough. So the disciples were curious. And Lord, we know that we're saved. I know I'm saved. I know that I have a relationship with you. And Lord, I'm just kind of curious. I saw what you did there, and that inspired my confidence because I see that the enemy takes advantage of a whole lot of people. And we've seen this kind of situation before, but we realize that the hold that the devil had on this young boy was so strong. Why couldn't we do it? We prayed. We labored. Why couldn't we do it? And he said, this kind cometh not by anything but by prayer and fasting. So the disciples realize that we've got our work cut out for us. Some of the things that we're going to get from the Lord, some of the levels of faith and some of the levels of victory that we're going to get from the Lord are only going to come by prayer and fasting. But you know, prayer and fasting does nothing if we don't believe. Lord, I'm praying and I'm fasting for you to give me the level of faith, the level of confidence that I need in you. And do you know the Lord will do that for us? Do you believe that? All right. It's our responsibility to believe. Okay, let's go a little further here. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So it doesn't matter. We have a responsibility to believe God's word and to believe what God is able to do. We have that responsibility. Just like we talked about a little bit the other night, that we have a responsibility to obey God no matter what everybody else is doing. We have a responsibility to believe God even though we're living in a generation and even though we're living in a time period where very few people are believing God anymore. Even people that call themselves religious folks don't believe God is able to do what God is able to do. And if we're not careful, we'll imbibe the same spirit that the world has, that this generation has. He says, will I find faith on the earth when I come? May the Lord help us. Will I find somebody that will simply believe my word just like I laid it down? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're going to just stand on my word for everything that they're having to face in their life. Will I find those kind of folks? Do you know the Lord wants you and I to be those kind of people? And do you know the Lord sends these kinds of revivals and these kinds of things to us to jolt us, I believe, to make us understand and realize where the enemy has been taking advantage of us and how to combat the powers of the enemy. Will he find faith in you? Will he find somebody that's willing to wait on him? Let me tell you, one of the things that I'm finding that we need more and more is patience to wait on the Lord. All right, let's go a little further. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. All right, so it says here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So the Lord sometimes will allow those things to get worse before they get better, because that's a trial of your faith. He's going to see how long you're going to wait. Do you realize that you cannot have faith in God without having patience? Patience is a necessary ingredient to faith. Now, I know you've heard probably 100 messages on faith before, but I believe what the Lord wants us to do tonight is bring it back to our remembrance. Because I believe that there is something that is eroding the foundation of the Christian values today, and I believe that that's not having faith in the Lord. Saints of God, it's difficult for us to believe a whole lot of things. It's easy for you to believe something when everything is going just perfect, isn't it? Oh, I believe God, and I think God is so wonderful, and we can rejoice and we can thank the Lord for all of the wonderful things. But we also need to thank the Lord for the things that are not so wonderful as well. Count it all joy. Didn't say it would be joy, but he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that you know this. There is no question in your mind. I know that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I know it's going to work patience in my life. Then he goes on to say, let patience have her perfect work. Do you know patience is an employee that works for you if you let it? If you let it. You can send somebody, maybe some of the sisters would really appreciate this, getting somebody to come and help with the housework. You hire somebody, a maid, and come with the housework. But you got to let her clean up if that's what she's there for. You got to let her do it. You don't sit down and have her to sit here when you're paying her, sit on the couch and watch what I'm doing. You don't do that. Well, in the same way, we don't allow faith, patience just to sit there and not work for us. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Sometime we need the Lord to give us a level of wisdom to know what to do and what not to do, don't we? Sometime part of our faith is that we Lord, I don't know what to do here. I'm trusting you. I don't know if I'm going to be still, or I don't know if I'm to go forward. I don't know if I'm going to sit down. I don't know if I'm just to hold on and be assertive here. I don't know what to do, Lord. So he's asking all of this. This scripture is all in the same context here. And sometimes we feel like it's just our responsibility to sit down and wait on the Lord. All right? It is always our responsibility to wait on the Lord, but it's not always our responsibility and the Lord's design for us to sit down. Sometimes the Lord wants us to continue to resist a thing and to continue to pray for it, but yet peace in our spirit that God is going to see us through and He's going to take care of this situation. It's not going to be too hard for Him. He's not going to take me to a place that I'm not going to be able to go forward anymore. That's not going to happen. He's going to give me what I need to be able to go through. I'm not going to fall up under this. But there is wisdom that we need to ask the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do here? Would you have me to be quiet? Would you have me to say something? Would you have me to go forward? Or would you have me to stand still? If any man lack this kind of wisdom, let him ask of God. God won't upbraid you about it. Lord, I'm getting a little bit anxious here. What should I do? And the Lord will give you an understanding of what his design is for you to do. But he said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think. think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So now, what does that mean to me? What that means is, well, I believe the Lord is going to do it on one hand, and this minute, today, I believe God is going to do it. Tomorrow, I'm not so sure. Then the next day, I get a little boost, and now I believe the Lord is going to do it, and the next day, I'm not so sure that he's going to do it. This is a man that is wavering. Now, where is God going to stand? If you just say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but this is where I'm going to stand. Now, you're going to have temptations to doubt, to have fear. You're going to have all these kinds of temptations, but you just stand here. After you've done all, just stand. Now, you know what? I believe that's easy for me to stand up here behind this pulpit and say. It's easy for me to say. But let me tell you, the reason that we know it is because we've been in some places like that, and all of us have. We've been in places that we have wavered at some point. And the Lord says, don't waver. I don't want you to waver in this. I remember one time I needed money. It seems like the Lord puts people from time to time in a financial bind. Lord, I needed some money. The Lord had told me to do a particular thing, and you may have heard the story before. I'll tell it again. And I was supposed to write a check for a few thousand dollars. So I wrote this check, and I gave it to the individual that I needed to give it to, and I said, I don't have the money. So it's not a hot check. You know that I do not have the money. They said, okay, we'll wait for, oh, we won't cash it for 30 days, but on the 30th day, we're going to cash it. We're going to put it in the bank. All right? Do you know what happened? I prayed and I prayed and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I feel like this is what you told me to do. But I didn't find money coming from anywhere. Now, you know how you kind of hint around to somebody and say, do you have any money? They don't have any. Not that much. You don't have any. So you're wondering, where is it going to come from? So I knew I got down to about the 29th day. The day before they were supposed to put it in. Do you know what the Lord did? He supplied it from somebody that normally doesn't have any money. They came up and gave it to me. Now, probably a lot of folks got this kind of testimony, don't you? You do, don't you? That the Lord will do those kinds of things for you if you believe in yourself, right? If you can believe it, you can achieve it. Now, how can I could write the check, but I couldn't put the money in the bank. But the Lord can put the money in the bank. So my faith can't be in me. My faith must be in God. So the Lord's going to test you on those places. He's going to test all of us in those areas of our lives, because really what he wants, he says, you know, there's going to come a time that you're going to have to depend solely and completely on me. So I'm going to teach you how to do it in the little bitty things. So he teaches you with the headache, how to trust him with the headache. He teaches you how to trust him with the little limp in your hip. He teaches you how to trust him in the little bitty things so that he can build your faith in the big things. And the same faith that it takes for you to trust the Lord for a headache is the same faith that it takes you to trust the Lord for anything. Right. Now, we want to dissect it and we want to say that this is a thing that I can trust the Lord for, but this is not a thing that I can trust the Lord for. It's the same faith. Faith is faith. And where the enemy gets the best of us is that I believe I can trust the Lord for the big things, but what we need to transpose, the fact is nothing is big to God. Everything looks the same to him. That something that is great, he's bigger than all my problems. He's bigger than anything. The mountains can move. He is God. So I need to have faith in him. Not in the preacher man. Not in the saints. That's displaced faith. Not in the doctrines of the Church of God. I don't have. That's not where my faith is. That if I do everything just like this, then the Lord will bless me. Yes, there's a requirement that the Lord has of you, but that's not where your faith is placed. Your faith is in God. Have faith in God. Whatever you're facing, even when have faith in God's wisdom. When God sees not to give you some of the things that you're asking for, have faith in the wisdom of God. I believe you know best, Lord. I believe you see the end from the beginning. So, Lord, you know what? Even though I don't have this right now, I believe you can give it to me. And if you show me that it's not for me to have, then I have faith in your wisdom that it's not beneficial for me to have this particular thing. So, therefore, I won't ask you for it anymore. Or have faith in the wisdom of God that if He makes you wait for a year or 2 years or 6 months or 6 weeks or 6 days before He gives you what you're asking for, have faith in His wisdom and let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God's desire for you is to perfect you. And there are some things that we lack, all of us lack. And the Lord will be perfecting us until the day that He takes us out to be with Him. So we have to let Him perfect us. Some things are not perfected until they are. There's a space of time that goes by. Let's see, you bake up a cake, right? You stir up a cake and you put it in the oven. And you've got to wait how many minutes? 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it takes for it to cook, or whatever it is, you've got to have patience in order for it to be usable, edible. Some things still take time. But we live in a society that we can take a cake and we can stick a cake in a microwave and zap it for a little while, and in 10 to 15 minutes it's done. But it doesn't taste the same, does it? Put a pound cake in a microwave oven. Don't work, does it? But this is the kind of generation. This is what Jesus was talking about when He says, "Oh, faithless generation." Faithless generation, not just faithless disciples, faithless generations. We can't wait for anything, can we? We want it right now. We want the Lord. I'm got on my knees, and we want the Lord to instantly heal us, don't we? Put our hands, come up here, put a little oil on the top of our forehead, and we want the Lord to take the headache away right now. Sometimes He does, and sometimes He doesn't. But doesn't matter what it is, you still have to believe. Your responsibility to believe. Don't transfer it onto those that laid their hands on you. It is our responsibility to make certain that we have faith. He said the prayer of faith would save the sick and the Lord would raise them up. So you know what sometimes we need to ask for, Lord? Inspire the prayer of faith. Inspire the prayer of faith. We don't want to just pray, but Lord, we need the prayer of faith prayed. But this is the point that I want us to get a hold of. I think that there are too many of us sometimes that don't want to take the responsibility on ourselves to believe. It's my responsibility to believe. It's your responsibility to believe. Amen. All right, Ephesians 4 and 14. No, you know what? This is talking about no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I want to deal with another point first. Romans 4, verse 17. Let's read that. It's talking about here. If we're not grounded in the faith, we'll be tossed to and fro. Today we'll believe this and we don't believe it anymore. Tomorrow we'll believe something completely different. May the Lord help us. Our responsibility is to have convictions and a revelation from the Lord so that we can stand. All right. Let's read Romans 4:17. Yes.
I have made you a father of many nations.
Father of many nations.
For Him whom you believe, even God.
Yes. God does that. He calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Who against hope believed in hope.
That He might become the father of many nations. It's talking about Abraham here, that he might become the father of many nations.
According to that which was spoken,
so shall thy seed be.
And being not weak in faith,
he considered not his own body, now dead.
He was about 100 years old.
Yes.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief.
But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Strong in faith. He staggered not. Who against hope, he believed in hope. All the circumstances, and there may be some circumstances in your life tonight, circumstances in the situations that you're faced with, that it seems like it's just a hopeless case. Do you know that that's what God specializes in? When it seems like everything is hopeless, believe anyway. You know, I've looked at it. When you look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, what do you find? You find that some, we were talking about this last night, some, all they did is just believe God. They believed it. They held on to what His promises were, and they believed it. You know, I was telling somebody not too long ago, one of the older sisters, Sister Eva Hartman, used to pray for her children all the time. And some were not saved. One in particular, she would call out, "I want you to pray," and I don't believe she would mind me calling her name. "I want you to pray for Rosie." Sister Eva died without Rosie being saved. But you know who's saved today? Who's one of the good, solid saints in the congregation today? You know who that is? Rosie. So she died without having received the promise in her grasp, but she believed the Lord was going to do that. And do you know who's there at church before a whole bunch of other folks get there? Wednesday night, Sunday morning? Rosie. Now some of y'all have some of those kind of sons, daughters, don't you? Who against hope, believed in hope. Staggered not at the promise of God with unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. Lord, I'm going to thank you now before I ever see it. And Lord, I'm not going to allow what the world does. I'm not going to allow unbelief, disbelief, unfaithfulness, faithlessness. I'm not going to allow that to affect my spirit to believe the things that I'm trusting you for, Lord. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to resist it. I'm going to stand against it. And I'm going to believe. And I am going to give glory to God. Lord, what help me to get to a place, and I believe we all need to get to a place where we can just get the promises of God and say, Lord, this is what you promised. And I believe that we can take him back to his word and say, Lord, this is what you promised. And Lord, I want you to increase my faith that I'll be able to believe what you promised for me. And if we can do that, we can have what things soever we desire when we pray. We can have that. We can stand on the promises of God. Do you realize when you read this Bible, do you know what this Bible is? It's just full of stories about men and women that were just like you and me. Like passions as we are. And it gives us a understanding of the difficulties that they went through and what they did to stand. And now what we have is we have the luxury of seeing the before and after. But if you realize that Abraham didn't have the luxury that we have to realize and to know that God was going to do that. He didn't have the luxury to see that I'm going to have this son. Or when I sacrifice this son, there's going to be a ram in the bush over here. He didn't know that when he went up to Mount Tabor. He didn't know that, did he? We know that, and sometimes that kind of makes us feel different than Abraham. And we realize, but you know why the Lord put that in here? Why he put it in the Bible? He put it in there for us to see, you know what? You can see the before and after, but you just can't see the after of what I'm going to do for you. But there's going to be a before and after for you, just like it was for Abraham. And if you'll hold on, just like Abraham did, story of a man who had 2 feet, legs,
hair, same as you and I are, this man did not see what was happening in the spirit world before he got there. He didn't see that. He didn't see it in a literal sense, but he saw it in the spiritual realm. I know God's going to take me through. Now, what I want to encourage us to do tonight is believe God. Get His promises. Stand on His promises. Have faith in Him. And believe that He's going to see you through. Where there is unbelief and where there is a lack of faith, acknowledge it. The Lord already knows that you don't believe if you don't believe. He already knows the level of your sincerity and the level of your faith. He already knows that. So it's all right for you to say, Lord, I don't have the level of faith that I really need and I really want. And it may only come through fasting and prayer. Lord, increase my faith, inspire my faith. Give me the prayer of faith. Then I can pray and I can believe. Do you know what I believe? I believe the Lord will do it. Amen. Pray for me.